How many of you do New Year's resolutions? Nobody? Some of you. Okay. I've never really been much for New Year's resolutions. First, because when I used to try to do them, I didn't keep them. And that's frustrating. But second, I came to a revelation some time ago now, I think a couple of decades or more, that when you make a resolution, like a New Year's resolution, you don't have to wait till New Year's to make one. And I found that if I wait until a certain date, I tend to, you know, not get around to doing things that I should be doing sooner rather than later. So sometimes New Year's resolutions to me are just kind of forms of putting things off, you know, waiting until I can do it another day. Why do today what I can do tomorrow? I don't want to be that way. So I've also come to the revelation that I can change the way that I think, called repentance. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about being happy today. Are you happy? Well, I did have a couple of New Year's resolutions, though, that I wrote down. I wanted to give you some ideas of things that you can do that are really easy. All right? Here's one. How about a New Year's resolution to help all your friends gain 10 pounds so that you will look thinner? Doesn't that sound easier than losing the weight yourself? Yeah. How about a resolution to read more? All you have to do is just activate the closed caption on your TV. There you go. That's easy. I heard someone had a resolution to be more optimistic, keeping their cup half full of vodka and gin and whiskey. That would keep some people. That's the only way they would keep it half full. You know, that'd be the way they would work it. And this one is specific to me. I thought perhaps I should resolve to quit telling dad jokes. But nobody likes a quitter, so I'm not going to. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. And I want to talk to you about happy resolutions today. Because I think that there are some things that we should resolve to do. And since this is the last Sunday of 2020, and we're getting ready to move into 2021, maybe we should resolve to do some things a little bit differently. And I want to say this too, don't be too hard on 2020. When we get a few years down the road and we look back on it, there may be some things that we can't see right now clearly, but it might give us much clearer vision for something in the future. So I am believing that some of what we've experienced can be, the Bible calls it, redeemed. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. So one of these days, hindsight will be 2020. And it's coming very soon. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and one verse there. And then we're going to jump over to chapter 6 and do one verse there. And it says there in this one verse, and it's kind of out of context, but I'm just looking for a word in each one of these verses. The teaching is found in the gospel that was entrusted to me to announce the good news from the glorious and blessed God. Everybody say, blessed God. Okay. Now, 2 Timothy 6, turn over there, and verse 15. Some of you are flipping and some of you are tapping. It's interesting to watch that the day that we live in, you know, the flipping and the tapping and the moving. 2 Timothy 6:15. His appearing will be brought about at the right time. Really? I wonder what I meant to type with my fat thumb. Chapter 5? 4? Try 4. His appearing will be brought about Does that sound right? There's no five, there's a four. Chapter 4, his appearing will be brought about at the right time by God? No. I wonder what I meant to put down here. That's really interesting. Well, I'll find it later and tell you. Okay, let me just read it to you. Look this way. Don't try to find it. His appearing will be brought about at the right time by God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Say, the blessed and only ruler. So did you notice the word blessed? I highlighted the word blessed in both of those verses. Paul's second letter to Timothy, he mentions this twice, someplace. And God is referred to twice as the blessed God, or if you will, the happy God. How many of you know that God is a happy God? We talk about it around here sometimes. We like this little saying that we picked up about a decade and a half ago. God is in a good mood. He is. And why is God in a good mood? Because Jesus said, it is finished. When Jesus said, it is finished, God went, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'll just challenge you with this. I could be wrong. But I tried to find a place in the scripture where God was angry after Jesus said it is finished. I'm not sure there is one. You can think about it if you want. But once the old covenant ended, let me just say it that way. Once the old covenant ended, I think since then, God has not been angry. Now that bothers some people when I say that, because a lot of people think God is not happy. They can't believe that God's a happy God because they see a lot of things that offend them, and so therefore it must offend God. I have a whole message on that, by the way. We won't spend a lot of time there. But I believe Jesus' completed work has made God so happy that the actions of a handful of devils and a few dumb people are not going to keep God from being in a good mood. I believe he's a happy God. God knows that we are on our way to a glorious ending, and nothing is going to stop it. You know that, don't you? God's getting ready to do something amazing, and nothing is going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. No matter what ups and downs we experience in this world, it's not going to keep God from doing what God is ultimately going to do. And God knows that everything is happening according to what he knew was going to happen, and it's all going to work out. In fact, God says in all things, he's working for our good. Do you think he's up there going, or do you think he's going, oh, yeah, I can take care of that. Got it. Depends on how you see. Depends on how you see things. God knows that nothing can separate us from his love. And we are experiencing that more and more. And we are learning to believe it more and more. Nothing can separate me from his love. So I think a happy God should be the center of our universe. A happy God, the center of my universe. Bill Johnson likes to say, we become like what we worship. We become like what we worship. So I wonder what we become like if we worship an unhappy God. Think about that a minute. What do we become like if we worship an unhappy God? I'm making you think today. It's the last message of the year, I know. But I'm going to make you think today because I want you to think as we enter into the next year how we're going to live it. If I am called to live a godly life, lot of people say godly is God-like, being more like God every day. Then if God is not happy, I'm not going to be happy. But if God is happy, then I'm going to be like God and I'm going to be happy. A lot of people say happiness isn't the same thing as joy, and they try to parse all this stuff out. But all I know is the Bible says God is happy. The word blessed literally means happy. And I want to be like God. But Pastor Tim, people can't be happy all the time. It's just not realistic. Oh, really? I can be happy in all kinds of circumstances, not because of me, but because Jesus said I could. Did you know Jesus said you could be happy in all sorts of circumstances? He did. And I'm going to read it to you. And I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter 5. But I'm going to read it out of a translation that most of you probably don't read very often. It's called Young's Literal Translation. And it's an old, old, old translation that's been around for a long time. So I'm going to start with verse 1 of chapter 5, and I'm going to read you from Young's Literal Translation, something that you've heard before, and I've actually said this before. I'm not telling you new stuff today. Like, this isn't me unloading a whole new revelation on you. In fact, I preached much of this message 3 years ago. So if you went, I think he's just gone off the deep end, run. You've been here for 3 years. You should have run a long time ago, because I've been talking about this for a while. Verse 1, and having seen the multitudes, he went up to the mount, and he sat, and having sat down, his disciples came to him, and having opened his mouth, he was teaching them, saying, happy the poor in spirit, because theirs is the reign of the heavens. Happy the mourning, because they shall be comforted. Happy the meek, because they shall inherit the land. Happy those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because they shall be filled. Happy the kind, because they shall find kindness. Happy the clean in heart, because they shall see God. Happy the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Happy those persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the reign of the heavens. Persecuted? Happy are ye whenever they may reproach you, and may persecute, and may say any evil thing against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in the heavens. For thus did they persecute the prophets who were before you. Somebody will say, well, that's supposed to say blessed. I know. Blessed is the sense of well-being. And happy, or happiness, is also the sense of well-being. Do I carry a sense of well-being with me all the time? Can I carry a sense of well-being with me all the time? No matter what's happening around me, can I move into a place where I recognize that I am in a place of well-being? How could you be any less than well-being when you are in the hand of God, when you are a child of God, when your eternity is settled, when you know where you're going to go, and you know what's going to happen in the future, when you know that you are loved by God, no matter what anybody else says? How could I not have a sense of well-being? But I have to confess that sometimes I haven't had a sense of well-being. When I should have, when I could have. And here's the question. Why would I want to not have a sense of well-being when I can have a sense of well-being? Why would I want to not be happy when I have every reason to be happy and I can, if I want to, be happy? Wow. Some of these blessed R's, or happy R's, sound easier than others, but Jesus declared them as though each one of them were just normal. and attainable. He's saying to us, you can do this. If you don't get anything else out of this today, just get this. You can do this. This is attainable for you. It's doable for you. And unless you just really like your little pity party, you don't have to have it. No matter what they say against you, Jesus said, you're blessed. In fact, the next time somebody says something really rotten about you, just think to yourself, oh, thank you for the blessing. I didn't bless you. Yeah, but God is. And you can't stop it. Now look, it's human nature, some will say, and I would call that kind of a proper way of saying it. It's human nature to think that happiness follows events. We have to have certain events happen or we won't be happy. And when we think that this or that needs to happen before we can experience happiness, a lot of times we spend a lot of time waiting for this or that. I'm just waiting on this to happen, and I'm waiting on that to happen. But we're being let in on something special here. You out there in Facebook land, you're being let in on something special here. We can enter into and participate in his divine nature. And it's his divine nature that allows us to choose to be happy. To choose it even when it doesn't look like it should be happening. So we can choose whether the glass is half full or half empty. So a lot of people are still struggling. Which is it? Am I happy because things are going well, or are things going well because I'm happy? Ooh. What if things are going well because I'm happy? What if my choosing to be happy helps things go better? Well, just one more question. What if I told you that it's not only a spiritual reality that things go better when we choose to be happy, but it's actually a scientific reality? A scientific reality? I found some things that I want to read to you. And it's just really weird when you start hearing this stuff that you can pick up from scientists. For example, there is scientific evidence that proves that while success does not necessarily lead to happiness, happiness does lead to success. Happiness is the center, and everything in your life actually revolves around it, says one scientist. And I'm thinking to myself, and if you know Jesus, and you've got the happy God in your life, and he's the center of your life, that makes this even more true. In over 200 scientific studies on nearly 275,000 people, evidence has been found that happiness leads to success in nearly every area of our lives, including marriage, health, friendships, community involvement, creativity, and in particular, our jobs, our careers, and our businesses. You'll hire a grumpy person if you have to, but it's a whole lot easier to hire a happy person. I think that's why so many people hire Jeremiah, because he's happy. Jeremiah's a happy guy. I don't think I've heard him complain hardly ever. That's good. Data abounds showing that happy workers have higher levels of productivity, produce higher sales, perform better in leadership positions, and receive higher performance ratings and higher pay. They also enjoy more job security. They are less likely to take sick days, to quit, or to become burned out. Happy is not the belief that we don't need to change. Happiness is the realization that we can. Do you realize you can change? Do you believe you can change? We've all been taught those things, right? We've got these sayings, you know, these things that we believe. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Heard those kind of things? Some people are just wired to be unhappy, and I'm one of them. Some people are just born cynical. They'll never change. And all sorts of dumb stuff. Even the world's rebelling against some of them. Women are just not good at math. How many of you know they've gotten past that one? In fact, some of the best mathematicians in the world have turned out to be some ladies. Although, I think men are a little bit more interested in math, perhaps. We just want everything to add up, and women just want everybody to be loved. I think they're better than us at that. But that's okay. Even things like, I'm just not a funny person. Well, you may not be funny, but you don't have to be miserable. The established train of thought in our culture is that our potential is biologically fixed. And when the brain reaches maturity, it is impossible to try and change it. That's something that we kind of have in the back of our head that we've been kind of taught or told or believed. And this belief is now being shown by science to have no basis in fact. And the crazy thing is, the scripture agrees. You're familiar with this passage, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We have this scripture that's speaking this to us. And of all the people on the planet, we ought to be able to gravitate toward it better than anybody that we know. It should come supernaturally to us because we are supernatural people. So this should be normal for us. Being happy is something that we don't have to struggle to get to. It's something that we naturally should experience. And by the way, this changing of our mind, science calls it neuroplasticity. You can change the way you think, and then you can change the world around you. Now, let me give you an interesting case study that I found on this. 180 nuns from the school of the Sisters of the Notre Dame, all born in 1917, were asked to write down their thoughts in autobiographical journal entries. And more than five decades later, a group of researchers decided to encode the entries for positive emotional content. So the nuns, whose journal entries had overtly joyful content, lived nearly 10 years longer than the nuns whose entries were more negative or neutral. By age 85, 90% of the happiest quartile of the nuns were still alive, compared to only 34% of the least happy quartile. Clearly, the nuns who were happy at 20 years old didn't feel that way because they knew they were going to live longer. Their superior health and stronger lifespans could only be the result of their happiness, not the cause. The connection between happiness and health has also been established in tons of studies over and over and over. In one study, researchers gave subjects a survey designed to measure the levels of happiness, and then they injected them, listen to this, they injected them with a strain of the cold virus. That's chilling to think about in the day that we live in, isn't it? A week later, the individuals who were happier before the start of the study had fought off the virus much better than the less happy individuals.
They didn't just feel better either. They actually felt fewer objective symptoms, or had fewer objective symptoms of the illness measured by doctors. In other words, less sneezing, less coughing, less inflammation, and less congestion. I don't know about you, but I've been trying to do anything I can to make sure this COVID thing doesn't have much room in my life. So I've upped my vitamin D. Some of you have heard about that. Been taking a little zinc. And, I've been taking a little fish oil. Fishy, fishy, fishy. My dad's been telling me about fish oil for years. He thinks fish oil is just amazing. I don't know if that stuff's really helping me or not, but I know what does help. Being happy. Happiness also helps us in areas of creativity. Researchers have long known that negative emotions narrow our thoughts and range of action. Fear, you know I like to talk about that, which carries with it the flight or fight mechanism, is tied to negative emotions. Again, this is a scientist writing this, not me. I'm just reading it to you. So in a fight or flight situation, our brains focus on what is making us fearful. While this mechanism may be helpful in avoiding being eaten by a lion, it's not helpful in situations where we need to think outside the box. Creativity and happiness go hand in hand and help us become more successful in our everyday life. It's just that simple. If I can be happier, I can be more creative. I can do things better, and things just work better. Positive emotions flood our brains with dopamine and serotonin, chemicals that not only make us feel good, but dial up the learning centers of our brains to higher levels. Happy people learn better. They help us organize new information, and they keep that information in the brain longer and retrieve it faster later on. So, Mr. Earhart has a class full of students, and if those students are happier, they'll learn better. I don't know if I'm making you happier this morning or not, but I hope you're learning something. And I hope when we're done, you'll be just a little bit happier, maybe. Maybe just a little. Every little bit helps. In another study, students were told to think about the happiest day of their lives. Think about this. This is so cool. Students were told to think about the happiest day of their lives right before taking a standardized math test. And the ones who were told to do that outperformed their peers because they went into the test happy instead of worried and nervous, and full of doubt and fear. Isn't that crazy? I mean, this is science. This isn't just the scripture. And yet the scripture has already said this thousands of years ago. And by the way, the results like this have been replicated in other key areas of, you know, business dealings and sales and contract negotiations and relationships and marriage. And studies over the last couple of decades have shown that even less negative TV can make us happier than we are. So you're thinking, what do you want to accomplish? Why are you telling this? I'm telling you all this because I believe that Christians should be the happiest people on the planet, period. We have the inheritance to be the happiest people on the planet. We have the connections to be the happiest people on the planet. We have the relationship with God that should make us the happiest people on the planet. We have everything going for us because everything is literally going for us. In all things, He works to our good. We have everything going for us. I know, I'm not saying that we're not going to suffer. We're going to go through things. But when we go through those things, Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we could be happy. Even when we mourn, My good friend Jim Baker lost his father in the last few days. And I've seen posts about it and plans for the funeral service, which is going to be just up here in Michigan. Yeah, Jim's one of those guys from Michigan, poor guy. Anyway, we've had communications back and forth, and one of the things that I said to him is, I'm just so happy for you that even though you've lost your father, I see your posts and I see how you're handling it, and I see that happy are those that mourn, blessed. He hasn't lost his sense of well-being in all this. He's trusting God and believing God even more. And as Americans, we're also fortunate because we have this document that says that it's our right to pursue happiness. Do you know some places in the world, the people are not given that right? That the pursuit of happiness is not considered a right? It's only a luxury for a certain group of elites? But we have the right, and we as Christians have the ability. This is amazing to think about. If you can just get this in our, if we can just get, I got to get it in me too, because I'm not always good at this. Happiness does require some effort. Lisa can tell you I was grumpy a while back, and I had to tell her I was sorry. I wasn't being happy that day. I was being a whiny little wiener. We can stop waiting on happiness and start. Why are we waiting when we could be creating? We could be creating. We could be creating happiness for ourselves and happiness for those around us. So we can, with a little practice, become happier. And we can also be the purveyors of happiness, the ones who bring it. I want to be the one who brings it. I want to bring happiness to people. I want people to be better off when I leave them than they were when I ran into them. That's why I smile at people, and that's why when they say, have a good day, perfunctory, as they're supposed to do when you're checking out of the thing, I just can't help myself and go, but say, oh, it's unavoidable. You have a great day too. And I always try to cheer people up, and I always try to just say something. I mean, not always. Sometimes I'm in a hurry. Anybody like me, I got to get this. Got to go someplace. But we can spread happiness. And the more we spread happiness, the happier we become. So just like the old song says, make someone happy. Just make one someone happy. And then he says at the end, if you make someone happy, then you will be happy too. So let me tell a story from 3 years ago. Christmas 3 years ago, I wrote this down, and I think I shared it once before. But Christmas 3 years ago was a little bit on the wild side for us, because we wanted to go to Logan and visit family, because Lisa's Uncle Zeke, his real name's Don, was down there at Christmas time. And so Josh and Casey and the kids and Sonia and Landon and us, and we wanted to go down and be down in the hills and see family. And so we started making our plans. I reserved 3 rooms at a hotel down there, and I got everything lined up, and we decided that we were going to leave around 11 o'clock. This was actually after Christmas. We had already celebrated Christmas here, and so we were going to leave at 11 o'clock, I think the day after Christmas. It was a Friday. And I was really hoping to leave a little earlier. How many of you know when you got someplace to go, you just want to get on the road? When I do it, let's go. Let's get everybody move. Everybody do this. So Sonia was our daughter, in case somebody's watching doesn't know. Sonia was living in Indiana at the time, and she and Landon were supposed to come to our house the night before, but the roads got slick. And so she made a decision to postpone coming until the morning, and we thought that sounded like a good idea, but I know my daughter. But we agreed to call her to make sure that she got up at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we started calling at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she wasn't answering. How many of you know what that feels like? You're trying to get a hold of somebody, and you're like, why aren't you answering? You're not even up. And she was, you know, 2 hours away is where she was living at the time. And we're not happy. But I kept reverting back to some things that were in my mind at the time. You may not remember the end of 2017. I actually spoke to you all and preached a four-part series, thank you, on Thanksgiving and gratitude. And gratitude, by the way, is the attitude that brings you into happiness. So we started calling, and she finally called us back at 8:30, saying that she was on her way, loading the car. And so she did get to our house, and we did get to leave, not early the way I wanted to. I was all on my horse to get out here early, but I didn't. But we left right at 11 o'clock, and I was like, yes, we left at 11, and we were on our way to Lima, where Josh and Casey and the kids were going to meet us at Cracker Barrel. And so we're on our way, and we get out of the neighborhood, and we turn on to 66, and my wife says, oh, I left my phone. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. It's just okay. I'll be fine. I'm fine. We turned around, and we were back in the same spot 7 minutes later. So that's okay. Got it. We're good. And Josh and his family were supposed to meet us, like I said, at the Cracker Barrel right at noon. So we were going to be just about close, maybe. I'm not going to break the speed limit or anything. I'm just drive. You know, he'll get there before me. That'll be good. They'll get there before us, and they'll get the name in, and then when we get there, we can just walk in and sit down. It'll be great. And that didn't happen either. So we actually got in the parking lot just at the same time they were coming into the parking lot, and I jumped out of the car, and I ran in to get our name in, and it was a 20-minute wait, which turned into a 30-minute wait. But the good news was they let us sit over by, they've got one of those big fireplaces in every one of those, and we sat over there with the grandkids. And I don't know, this is a sign and a wonder, because somehow we sat there, and the grandkids and the wives did not go over into the shopping area. We sat by the fire, and they didn't go shopping. Hallelujah. Shonda. Wow, that was amazing. And so we had a nice visit, and they didn't spend $1 million, so that was good. And we finally got seated, and our waitress took our drink order, and she came back, and she was just reaching to put down the first drink when the waiter behind her bumps into her, backing away from the table, and just like, bam, and she loses the balance and loses all the stuff, and it comes down on Josh and Remy. But you know, when I saw it all happen, I kind of just looked at it, and I'd already been talking to myself all morning. You know, dude, chill. It's going to be good. And I had, you know, preached that message and had my own words ringing in my ears. And you know, you got to practice what you preach. And when it all hit the floor and hit them, it just didn't really get them that bad. And mostly what hit them was water, and it brushed off kind of, and the glasses hit the floor and crash, bang, boom, and busted glass everywhere. But nobody got cut, nobody got hurt, and it was no big deal. And we just kind of laughed it off. You know, it's like, you know, it'll be okay. It's all good. All good. So we got our order. We ate. They brought some fresh glasses of water and a little bit of pop, but mostly water. And then I got blessed. What do you mean you got blessed? Well, they knocked a bunch of money off our bill. Come on. You know, I mean, that kind of made me happy. And so we got back in the vans. And by this time, we're already running a couple hours later than what I wanted it to be because it took them forever. But you know what? We're all together. We're all doing well. So we made our way down to Southern Ohio. And as we got near the hotel, my daughter started feeling like she was going to be sick. And by the time we got to the hotel, she was feeling really sick, like gonna heave sick. But, you know, she said, I'll just lay here for a while. You go see Uncle Zeke, take Landon, Josh and Casey, and I'll just kind of stay away from it in case I'm contagious or whatever. And we were like, okay. So we got our stuff in our rooms, and she stayed there, and we went to see family. And Lisa's Uncle Zeke had never seen Landon, who would have been, what, 10, 9 that time? And so it was really cool to see that he got to interact with Landon and the other two little ones. Didn't have our third one in Josh's family yet at that time. And so we had a great time with family. The food was awesome. Everything was just so good. And then it started to snow. And suddenly we looked out and realized there was already an inch on the ground. And everybody started jumping to get things moving because, well, there is a very small mountain, large hill between Lisa's mom and dad's house and where we were at in the hotel. And it goes up and curves like this, and then as it comes down, it curves again, you know. So it's not like you can lock your brakes up and slide down the hill straight to the bottom. You've got to have some grip and, you know, and yeah, we got out. We got everything done. It was a little slippery, but we made it. And we got back to the hotel. And we already were seeing cars that were slid off the roads. So it was a little spooky. But we were okay. By this time, Sonia really, really, really was sick. And actually, I said we got three rooms. We actually had only gotten two rooms, because Sonia and Landon were going to be in our room with us, so we were, you know, two queen beds, and Josh and Casey had the other room. Well, she was pretty sick, so I went down and said, have you got another room? And they said, yeah, and they put her in a separate room, and I went to figure out how I was going to pay for all this, and the interesting part was, by ordering the extra room, I actually hit a breakpoint in my Sky Miles, which pays for travel. And I ended up with a bill that was just a couple of bucks instead of almost the whole cost of one room because of where it broke. It breaks every $100. So it actually was cheaper for me to have three rooms than it was two. What? See, God's always looking for a chance to bless me. And I come back, even though I'm not happy that my daughter's sick, I'm smiling because I just saved money. I like to save money. And so then I took Landon down to the pool, and we splashed around and had a good time, and everybody just had a blast, and it was nice. And we got up the next morning, and the roads were a little bit better, and it was time to head home, and so we loaded up the vehicles and started out. And my son, he's not that much different than his father, but he just happened to get his family together quicker than I could get Sonia and Landon together, and off they went. They were heading home. Okay. So they got a 20-minute start on us, and he does drive a little faster than me. So he's up the road, and we're following behind, and we get to Marysville, and I stop to get gas, and that's when I got a call from my son, and he's up just west of Bell Fountain, almost to this little place called Huntsville, and he's got a flat tire in the snow. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. So we get up there to where he's at, and we scooch all the stuff in the van all around and get everything just situated just so we can squeeze in Casey and two kids along with Landon and Sonia and Lisa and I. Jam us all into a van, and Joshua's waiting for the tow truck. And he says, we're going to go to this Monroe over in Bell Fountain, and we go over there, and we wait for him, and he gets there, and we go across the street to a McDonald's, and they're going to take care of the tire. And he had roadside assistance that he had paid for, so the trip with the tow truck was nothing. And he gets over there, and we're across the street, and he comes over, and we eat food and have a good time. And then the kids want ice cream, so Josh goes up to the counter to get some ice cream, and somebody comes along and pays for it. Still don't know how that even happened. All of a sudden, the ice cream's paid for. And then we hear from Monroe, and they don't have a tire. They can't get one. But they put his one on, and they stick his other one underneath, and make sure you get that fixed when you get where you're going. And, you know, he did, and we were blessed. This was maybe the craziest trip I've ever had. And there were so many temptations to get negative. So many temptations to get negative. But I just kept pressing through. I kept seeing what God had done that was good. Think about it. If Josh had been behind us, we would have had to come back. Or if he'd have been traveling alone with just his family, he wouldn't have had us right there. And there's so many things that you can see, and you start to look for the silver linings in the clouds, and you start to realize that there's so much good. And so my gratitude really helped me keep the right attitude. So here's my thought. What if we could have a happier new year? Well, some people are already thinking there's no way we can't have a happier new year than 2020. Year. What if we could resolve, if you're going to do a New Year's resolution, what if we could decide that we were going to just be happier this year, and that it's possible to be happier this year, that this could be the happiest year of our life, and that we could be the happiest people on the planet? And I believe that God says we can. So let's resolve to be the one who's happy. Now, I think that might take a little prayer. So I want to pray for you. For all those listening by Facebook, for those here in the room, and for those who maybe will look this up later and listen to it at a later time, I pray. I pray for myself, as well as everybody else, that we will determine in our hearts to be like you, to know that you are working in all things and that you have everything working according to your plan, and we are part of that plan, and we have nothing to be afraid of and everything to be happy about. And so I just pray, Lord, that that renewing will take place in each of our minds, and that when we see ourselves not being happy, something will click, and we'll decide to change the atmosphere that we're living in at that moment and to shift it into one of thanksgiving and gratitude and joy and peace and all the things that goes with that. And I pray that you'll work that in each one of us. And I know that you love us, Lord, and that you want this not just for your kingdom's sake, but for our sake so that we can enter your kingdom. And so we pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.